The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.
Next on KCBQ, stay tuned for The Portfolio Doctors, Dan Osgood and Stephen Vick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS, LLC, and Cottingham Management Company, LLC. The opinions expressed on The Portfolio Doctors are their own and do not reflect those of ACAS, LLC, Cottingham Management Company, LLC, or this radio station. The following information is for educational purposes only. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, investment, or tax advice. Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ. Your financial future depends on making sound investment decisions. Make sure you get accurate information and a weekly checkup from a source you trust. The Portfolio Doctors will see you now. Live in studio, here are Dan Osgood and Steve Vick, the Portfolio Doctors.
Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of The Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And why are we here every week, Steve?
Try to help America invest more wisely.
It wasn't just for the burgers that we have before we come in?
No, but that is also good, yeah. Though. Just trying to educate people. There's really no other agenda other than that. Try and assist people with their investment decisions and hopefully make them wiser.
Right. It's, I guess, between us, we have 50 plus years of experience now dealing with the financial markets. My experience is more on the financial planning side. Steve's is more involved in the trading in different markets, managing different types of investments and private equities. So between us, we put this show together, really just sitting around having a tea one time and talking about the nonsense that is reported on a daily basis.
Right.
And it's just a constant onslaught of different variations of a sales pitch, really.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be able to recognize that there is a sales pitch that's happening, that there is a reason for whatever the show is, whatever the reporter is, whoever the journalist is, whatever the story is they're telling, someone in the line, whether it's a sponsor, which typically it is, it's a sponsor, a big name sponsor who is paying for that show, and they are poised to gain if you follow the advice of what the person's recommending, because you're more than likely going to use the product of the person sponsoring. They're going to make a lot of money off of that. So I'm not saying that any and every investment or different strategy that ever gets talked about is bad. It just may not be what's right for you. And you need to understand where the motivation is coming from in getting that message across to you to make a decision if it's the right opportunity for you or not.
Yeah, I have to say, coming over talking about your advertisement of some form on the radio or television or whatever it might be, when I first came over to this country, I couldn't believe the amount of advertising and promotion there was for stocks. It was just unbelievable. And in most other countries around the world, there is a mention of the stock market or what happens in it, but that's not the entire news. And you get over here and it, literally it's just pushed down your throat morning, noon, and night, as if this is the only place to go, that the stock market is the be-all and end-all of the whole U.S. economy.
That's where all your money has to be. Didn't you know that?
Yeah, but it's worse than that, because they're making it sound as if the stock market is the U.S. economy, which it's not. I understand there's the underlying companies that are operating below that surface, but that's not the stock market. That's more business, right? And nothing of that form or nature is ever really mentioned. It's all about the prices of the stocks did this and that and the other thing. It's less about, you know, what's actually going on in the economy, which is just quite amazing. It's sort of like a big casino.
Right.
You know, not really an investment.
Well, you've heard whispers of this, that this is one of the greatest recoveries in the stock market that no one has really paid attention to.
Well, you've seen this week. I mean, you have 5 days out of six up, right? And why that's on the back of terrible job numbers. Terrible. I mean, they were just so bad. Mm-hmm. You also know that looking forward, earnings are going to be abysmal. They're right. saying, they're projecting earnings growth will be maybe 5% this quarter, and I don't even think it'll be positive, but that's just me. So you've got bad earnings coming forward. You've got terrible employment numbers. You've got the absolute, it seems like the skids are just falling to pieces out in the global market, you know. So looking forward, where's all this growth coming from? But yet you have a market that just bounced on those bad numbers. Bounced. Right. It went from down 1.5% to up 1.5% that day, all because the market's going to be juiced further with low interest rates, which we both said weren't sure. going to happen anyway. And now supposedly everyone's now talking about, oh, they're going to have to start pumping more money into the system. So really the stock market is being fueled, as I've mentioned for many years now, by this fake money that's being printed. Instead of the money reaching the people that it needs to, the stock market is the big beneficiary. And that is just so wrong on so many accounts.
Right, it isn't.
That's what the Fed's here for, to protect the stock exchange. I mean, give me a break.
Right. It's not helping the economy.
No. And that's why I'm saying this whole thing about the stock market is not the economy. The stock market, it really, in this day, country, has really become a casino for mm-hmm. investing and speculation.
Sure.
And if they actually took their heads out of the stock market, the Fed, and said, okay, forget the stock market. Who really cares if the stock market goes up, down, sideways, right? Let's just look at the economy as a whole, and let's see if we can't get the money, the $4.5 trillion we printed and wasted. Let's see if we couldn't have maybe got that into the hands of the people that really need it, like the small business owners, the people that are on Skid Row, you know, the people that will actually spend the money, maybe some infrastructure projects, rather than let's protect Wall Street and the financial system and the banks. We'd probably be a lot better off.
Right.
But I don't know a person out there that really believes we ever really came out of the recession. I mean, I don't know anyone that's going, woohoo, here we go. Things are great. They've never been better, you know. And we've spent $4 trillion to get here, and no one really believes that we've made too much of an impression. Certainly, you've seen the economy grow, but it's been, as I've said a million times before, it's been handed out to the banks and big business. They've done well, but everyone else is still struggling.
Right. And there are some signs of life out there. There have been some actual numbers that came out that look promising. So we're not saying that the economy is just absolutely in the tank.
No.
But it sure doesn't seem and feel, especially when you talk to people that are out every day in the economy trying to do business, it doesn't feel like we're in this happy
right.
place.
That's
well,
put
sure.
it this way. I mean, when I went to open a new business bank account the other day, and it took me 2.5 hours to get the bank, the account open, mm-hmm. because, and there was about a 6-inch pile of paperwork on the desk because of all this, you know, laws from Dodd-Frank and all of these people. Mm-hmm. And this is supposed to be beneficial. You know, this is just absolutely grinds down the entrepreneurial spirit, and just people just don't have an appetite to start a business.
Well, along those lines, I saw earlier this week, Hillary Clinton, as part of her campaign, she's seeking to crack down on those who break Wall Street rules.
Yeah, I really like Hillary.
Which, that cracks me up, because this is the old cliche of, hey, pot, this is the kettle calling, because she's been part of some of the worst rule breaking in and around Wall Street, and all of the politicians are so corrupt.
Right. Number one, her emails. Right. Number two, her husband. If you're a senator or a congressman, you don't have to abide by any of these laws.
Right. That's what I was kind of getting at. The only people at least in the United States that can legally act on inside information
right.
is Senate and Congress.
Yeah.
And if that's not one of the most corrupt, backwards laws that they've enacted, I don't know what
okay,
else
well, let
would
me
compare.
Take it a step further, one step further. So they can operate on inside information. They control to a large degree what the Fed does. So if they support the stock exchange and give easy money and pump it higher because they know they're going to do it, then who's a major beneficiary of it? They all are.
Themselves. That's why the stock market has become the main focus. And the reality is, these senators and congressmen are privy to more inside information than any other population of people anywhere here in our country, that's for sure. Yet they're allowed to act on it. And the really kind of...
I still think that we should go back to once you're done and you've finished your term as a senator or a congressman, then you're done.
I agree.
You don't get a pension anymore. Where are our pensions? You can get our pension. You can get $1,500 a month for the rest of your eternity like we all get.
Social Security.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'll bet that system would get fixed very quickly.
That's
if
right.
They all had to rely on
Instead
Social Security,
full,
not a pension.
Yeah, their full pension for the rest of eternity. Why are we paying that?
And it's, I believe, it has a cost
job.
Of living increase that's at a much higher rate than in any other one that exists.
Yeah, I thought inflation didn't exist, according to the Fed.
Only in their pensions.
No, I know.
Inflation has to exist for their pensions, for them to continue to lead their lifestyle that gets better every year.
Right.
So that was something that, not to sidetrack what we were talking about, but I saw that and had to mention it.
I think the reason that it's becoming more and more prevalent is, and we can talk about this either this show or another show, but the problem is that the politicians in our government are controlling more and more of the outcome globally. And until they actually get some kind of a global focus, there's going to be a big problem on the horizon at some point in time.
Yeah, I read an article just a couple of days ago that all the leaders are terrified of a possible another recession ever happening. So they're trying to do everything they can to prevent a recession from ever occurring again.
Well, we can talk about that a little bit.
Well, we can talk about that when we come back?
Yes.
Okay. Well, stick around. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors. And when we come back, we will talk about what would happen if we had a recession, whether it's here or in another country or across the globe. We'll be right back.
AM1170TheAnswer.com. Hear us anywhere in San Diego and the world. AM1170 The Answer.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
San Diego's home for intelligent, conservative talk. AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back. Thank you again for listening and sharing your weekend with us. This is the Portfolio Doctors radio show. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And a recession.
Yeah.
So the last one we had... It's quite the major shakeup in the stock market, which we've been talking a little bit about today. Is a recession part of a natural economic cycle where you can do your best and on occasion a recessionary time is going to occur regardless of what you try to do to prevent it?
Yeah, it should be. I mean, that's the whole idea behind anything that you do, right? If things grow, things come back, better products come forward, a recession cleans out the dead wood and allows, you know, it's like a forest, you know, up come the new roots and shrubs and things. But the problem is that for whatever reason, the politicians and the Federal Reserve have decided that there should never be a recession, that somehow they're going to be able to tinker with the economic tools and negate any kind of a slowdown ever again.
Well, and beyond our country. That article I was reading, they were mentioning the IMF.
Yeah.
They were mentioning Japan, China.
Yeah, they're all trying to do
all of Europe,
it.
All these big countries that are basically following our Fed's lead and doing quantitative easing in some manner or another, trying to ward off a recession.
Yeah, well, you can't. At some point, as I've explained before, that this utility function of money, at some point, the added dollar just becomes worthless. It doesn't do anything, right? And I think we've sort of got there, and all it starts doing is clogging up the system. And that's why I think you see this really slow growth happening, because really debt is king right now, okay? Mm-hmm. There's never been a time in history where there's been, the globe has been so awash with debt, and they are pumping more and more of it into the system every day. And it's, I liken it to trying to clean a river where you're just pumping more sewage in. You know, it's, mm-hmm. you can't clean it up. You've got to actually stop pumping the sewage, spend time cleaning up to repopulate it, right? And that's, to me, what all this debt is. It's just clogging everything up. And what you've got now is you've got a Federal Reserve that, in a way, is controlling a bigger and bigger swath of the global economy, because more and more greenbacks are being printed. And I read an article, which is really interesting, that I don't know if you know much about the euro dollar, right? But the euro dollar is essentially a U.S. dollar that is transferred and created in Europe.
Okay.
So it's just a U.S. dollar that's created in Europe. Well, in the good old days, there were a couple of them floating around. Now there's about 60%, the euro dollar market is about 60% of the whole United States market for currencies. So we've got another 60% more dollars trading around in Europe than as we have here, okay? So, and the Federal Reserve supposedly controls all those dollars as well. Plus, the Federal Reserve in reality controls the IMF, you alluded to that, mm-hmm. and the World Bank, right? But they won't fund them, and they hamstring them, and they veto them, right? So they can't really do their job. So what you've seen is you've seen all these emerging economies, they don't want to get punished anymore. So they hold gobs of dollars in reserves just in case something happens, right? So you've got this massive portfolio, trillions and trillions of dollars outside the U.S. that trades every day.
Over and above the
over and above what the Fed's got, right? So when the Fed pulls the strings nowadays of, oh, we're going to raise interest rates, it doesn't just impact the U.S. It impacts all of those other euro dollars and dollars floating all over the globe, right?
Okay.
So, but they're trying to act as if we're insulated. They're trying to act as if the United States is still just this little island. We'll just take care of ourselves. But every time they do a little tweak here and there, they are now tweaking the globe, essentially.
Sure.
And this is a dangerous situation to be in, because when you look at our political environment, and there's a lot of looking inside. I mean, you think about Donald Trump, let's build a wall, you know, who cares about China? What did he say about the Chinese president? He said something about, I wouldn't even take him to McDonald's if he comes over, the Chinese premier, right?
Sure.
That's a $10 trillion economy. You're going to take the head of them to McDonald's? I mean, so it's becoming very much to heck with the rest of the world. Let's look inside. Let's draw up the wagons. Let's make sure we're protected, and we'll just tinker away just to make sure we're fine. But the problem with that looking inside mentality is, because of this massive swath of dollars floating around all over the globe, every time we tinker, it has a repercussion outside that then comes right back and slaps us in the face. And so unless we open up and start looking outside and actually see what the impact of these moves are, unfortunately, the Federal Reserve actually did that by not raising interest rates. They said that the rest of the world's too weak to handle an increase in interest rates. So good for them. But we need a lot more of that, and we need better policies that actually look as a global economy rather than just a local economy.
Right. There's been talk of global economy for a while, but the behavior is not consistent with that talk.
Yeah, unfortunately,
it is more
not
centrally focused, is just here, like you said, circle the wagons, put a wall around it, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Let's just work in behind our walls, and it doesn't matter what we do, it's going to help us, and not understanding that it does have those effects.
You know, and the good news about America, though, and the thing that, you know, people that's the thing people hate about America, is that they do stuff like we're doing right now. Mm. The thing that people love about America is they do have a way of actually changing their minds and doing the right thing in the end. But sometimes it just takes so much prodding that it, you know, there's a lot of pain to be felt before we finally get there. I'm hopeful we get there sooner rather than later, but looking around, surveying the scene of politicians and who's actually up to run the White House coming up, I don't hold out a lot of faith for the next 4 years.
You're not impressed with any of the candidates?
Are you?
I'm not sure I've seen anyone that makes me say, wow, I want this person leading us.
Mm. And I'm not really a Democrat or Republican. I just want a good leader.
I do too.
I just want someone to be able to say, hey, look, this is what I stand for. This is a clear, concise road we're going to follow, and this is why, and this is how we impact the world. So let's expand our you know, outreach,
sure,
and make some good policies and help small business.
And
where's that person?
Stop alienating the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not talking about good business decisions that can somehow suddenly translate into massively successful global policies.
Or nice pensions for when they retire.
Yeah. Yeah, don't even get me started on that.
That's the bigger one.
Yeah.
I think that seems to be the biggest agenda,
right,
that they have at all times.
Unfortunately, yeah, it's all just about it's career politicians rather than people who have the best views in mind and the best, hopefully the best for America and the globe in mind versus the best for themselves.
Right. And it, unfortunately, our political system right now really seems it's just look out for yourself first,
right,
and campaign 100% of the time, because the longer you're in office, the better your pension is. I mean, they've proven it. They've done the research now that all the current politicians are in a much better state of wealth than they ever were before they took office. And we're not talking about just, okay, they're making a slightly higher wage. We're talking their net worth has gone up by millions and millions of dollars.
Yep.
So
it's a shame.
That's why you see these constant campaigns going on, because they understand, right, that is a golden egg, and they need to, or golden goose that's laying more golden eggs.
Yeah.
And they want to keep it as long as possible.
Yeah. It's a system that has to change.
Right.
Along with the way that the Fed actually tries to tinker with the economy. I mean, seriously, they could let it alone 4 years ago to do its thing. And yes, we probably would have had a recession, but I personally think things would be a heck of a lot better right now.
It would have. They basically, by stepping in, and we've talked about this, they needed to step in when they did.
Right.
It was absolutely needed.
Agreed.
Or the financial system
That's
was going
they
to
needed.
Collapse. So they needed to do that. The fact that they bailed out so many companies that had made bad decisions and allowed them to remain in existence really interfered with the natural selection of general economic principles.
Right.
The supply and demand, making good business decisions, running your business successfully. I mean, we talked about this over the last couple of weeks, Ford and GM, that's two polar opposites. Ford had made their changes. They were on a path of success and didn't take any money. GM took the money. They were able to right the ship because of that, where GM would have potentially and more than likely had to file bankruptcy, which would have benefited Ford, which is how economics should work.
Mm-hmm.
And Ford should be quite upset still over this.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is they stepped in, they did what they thought was right at the time, but unfortunately what it did was it really widened the gap between the big companies and the small guys.
Right.
No one would have ever rescued a small, if Tesla had gone under, no one would have cared.
Right.
So it really...
But now they would.
Maybe now. But I mean, the problem is that this is, if you always only rescuing the big guys and not the small guys... Then the small guys throw up their hands and say, what's the point? It's them against me. I'm never going to beat them.
Right. And there's no incentive for new small guys to
step in. So why open a business and why employ people? And there you go. Here we are struggling away 6 years later.
That's right. Well, stick around. When we come back, we will, I believe we'll be talking to Dave and RJ with Columbus Turnkey Houses. And we've got some other tidbits pertaining to the economy. And helpful advice for you. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors, AM 1170, The Answer.
AM 1170, TheAnswer.com. Hear us anywhere in San Diego and the world. AM 1170, The Answer.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to LeadCommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
San Diego's home for intelligent, conservative talk. AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back. Thank you all again for listening. It is the Portfolio Doctors Radio Show. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And we've been talking about the market, the impact the Fed is having, and the fact that here in the U.S. we're really kind of insulating ourselves and just looking out for ourselves rather than looking out for the globe. And there is some, I guess, benefit and some good reasons to do that to some extent. But I think it is being a little bit blind to the fact that it is a global economy, whether you want it to be or not. And everything we do does have an effect. It trickles to the other economies around the world. So we do have to be careful, because our economy is pretty reliant on many of the other economies around the world. And this really leads to a big reason, big part of why we are here each week and why we decided to do this show. You hear, Steve alluded to it earlier, that the stock market is the only place there's emphasis anymore. It really seems to be that everything you're supposed to do is the stock market if you listen to all the experts.
And yeah, that's really why we talk so much about macroeconomic outlook, because the majority of the stock exchange is tied into other parts of the world, and it's impacted by other parts of the world and their policies. Sure. And so that's why I want to just alert people to this. But the one way to get around all of this, as I think you were alluding to now, Dan, is to not be in the stock market and focus in a local market where you actually can control the outcome a little bit more.
Well, right. We've talked in the past over a number of topics that are not stock market, not necessarily not stock market related, but not as reliant on the stock market. And there are a lot of other investment vehicles you can consider and look at putting in as part of your portfolio. We're not saying don't invest in the stock market.
Correct.
By any means. There
but
is
it doesn't have to be 80%.
Great opportunity. Yeah. Correct. It doesn't have to be your entire portfolio. And as we've talked about, your portfolio is more than just your allocation to the stock market. It involves your real estate, your home that you live in. It involves your automobiles. It involves your job. It involves what else?
It's everything. I mean, the other side of things is, and just to actually go back to that, when you have this retirement plan at work and that, one of the problems is the only allocations you're ever offered is a stock type
mutual funds,
and even
some
when
are showing ETFs.
Oh, here's a real estate investment trust. It's still a stock.
Right.
You can't just go directly into the stock, and I think that's a big mistake.
Right, and that's another reason why we introduce other opportunities. Like we've talked about, if you're uncomfortable with the market and maybe you've had an idea about starting a business, could be an opportunity to invest in yourself. Maybe a relative or a neighbor has a business that you've learned everything about from them, and it's an exciting opportunity. It may be an opportunity to help them get that business off the ground.
I mean, seriously, it's as wild as the jewelry in your closet. I mean, if you've got a ton of jewelry lying there, and you've got some pretty good pieces, you can actually create value by taking that out of there, melting down the gold in that jewelry, creating a piece that actually looks a lot better, adding, let's say, more diamonds and things like that. And I've seen, because I've traded diamonds and gold before, that one of the ways to create value in a diamond portfolio is to create a piece that's a lot bigger and a lot better, and that people appeal to them because now you've actually created a higher market value than just those pure diamonds, just the diamonds lying around. So, I mean, an investment could even be that.
Sure.
That's through your jewelry closet and go, hey, let's pull all this out, let's melt this down, let's create this piece out of all of that, and that's suddenly worth a lot more.
Sure. And I actually know a master jeweler, and he tells me the cost to build something like that.
Yeah, it's next to nothing.
Oh, it's very inexpensive, and the end product is worth a big amount.
And so there's an idea for people just listening right now.
Sure.
Buy a 3D printer, just print it up.
Yeah, there you go. It's that easy.
I don't think it has gold ink.
And with that in mind, there's another area that we've talked about, and that is real estate. So we've got Dave and RJ with Columbus Turnkey Houses on the line now. Dave, RJ, how are you guys today?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having us on.
How's it going?
Great to have you again. It's always a pleasure. The info that you share with our listeners has been really good. I know there's a lot of listeners that have taken advantage and are seeing the advantage of investing in real estate and putting that to work for them somewhere outside of the pricey market known as San Diego, where we are. You know, guys, in the past, we have talked about the ability to buy these houses, and typically it is more along just a cash purchase. And I think last week we talked about a price point in the $40,000 to $50,000 range to buy at one of these houses. What if someone only has, say, $10,000 sitting in their account that they're willing to invest, or that's all that's available? Are there other opportunities available to them? Is there something you guys can do to help facilitate a purchase of one of these properties?
Excellent. Thanks, Dan. And once again, thanks for having us on the show, Portfolio Doctors. And to the listeners out there, for those of you that don't know who we are, I'm Dave Parrichin here with my business partner, RJ Pepino, and we are Columbus Turnkey Houses. We're a real estate investment firm located in Columbus, Ohio, that specializes in providing turnkey, fixed up, rented out income producing properties in the Columbus, Ohio market. And Dan, what you asked is completely relevant, because right now there is financing available for individuals. If they don't have the whole amount, if they don't have $50,000 or $100,000 or more to purchase properties for cash, literally investors could walk in and just put down a 20% down payment. And with 20% down, you can take advantage of the low rates that are available right now. One investor recently came in, he put 10% down and purchased a property, and I think he got a 5% loan, 30-year fixed rate, amortized over 30 years loan. And this is going to, his cash on cash return then goes through the roof. If he's only putting down $10,000 or $20,000, and net at the end of the month, he's still collecting $300-$400 a month. I mean, you can run the numbers yourself. It's phenomenal. And we do have that financing available to purchase income producing properties here in the Columbus, Ohio market.
Yeah, because if you just put 10 or 15% down in California, there's no way it's going to cash flow.
Right.
There's just no way. That's number one. And number two, I don't think you can finance an IRA purchase, right? This has to be outside of any retirement plans. I don't believe that retirement plans allow financing.
Yes, you can. You can with a non-recourse loan. And I just heard about a new product today. I've heard about non-recourse loans that you can use for an IRA in the past, but I've never really seen it go through. I just had a conversation today with an investor out of Atlanta who is using a financing source. I think it's Lima Capital, and there's one other one, but there is a product now that investors can use with their IRA to purchase properties.
And what exactly, just explain to the listeners what a non-recourse loan means.
A non-recourse loan is that it's not personally guaranteed. It's guaranteed strictly with the property.
Right, but that's still leveraged money. So I would have to say that even if you could get that done, you'd have to pay tax on that leveraged portion of the income, correct?
I'm not quite sure. I'm not the expert. In fact, like I said, we've never worked with an investor who got one of these types of loans. I just heard that it's possible today.
Okay, well, that's good news.
I would expect any income generated, because it would be considered an IRA asset, is going to be taxable, unless it's a Roth. Just based on the rules around any IRA assets. If you bought a tax-free bond within an IRA account, you still have to pay taxes, even though the interest is tax-free in the account. When you take it out, you're still subject to the taxes. So I would expect that it would still be taxable if you're taking that income. If it's staying within the account or being deposited into the account, then it may not. But I would definitely consult a tax professional to
From running my hedge fund, at the end of the year, if, let's assume the fund itself was leveraged, then even if you have a retirement plan, and you would have to pay UBT tax on that leveraged portion of the investment. I'm just thinking this might be the similar thing, where you've literally leveraged that investment, right? So I would expect that part of that income that's associated with paying down that debt would be taxed at the UBT level, but I'm not a tax expert.
You definitely want to consult with a tax professional on that question if you're considering this type of option.
But that's pretty exciting news. I mean, possible, that's really good news. So anyway, go ahead, guys.
Yeah, RJ wanted to tell you about some new deals here. So yeah, guys, in regards to financing, we have a couple properties that are available. One is going to be rent. It's actually rented for $1,000 a month, and it's in a really nice pocket of Columbus in the suburb type area. We just got it rented last week, and I think the lady works at Chase, right? Anyway, so if you finance that, let's just look. So the price is 90, 20% down, about $18,000, and you're netting $400 a month times that. So the return on that is actually going to be northward of 25%, actually 26%. That's cash on cash. That's phenomenal.
I just had a quick tidbit here. So if someone had, for example, $50,000 that they wanted to invest, they could potentially buy five different properties if they could finance all five of them, put 10 down on each, and that would boost their overall return pretty substantially.
Bingo.
Okay.
Absolutely. And we have we work with a finance company or a bank out in Seattle that can get them approved up to 10 properties. So each client that we work with, we try to locate at least 10 properties for them, and that's substantial.
So absolutely. You know, just using that leverage really impacts that return.
Right. And so if you have an average of, let's just say, 300. And you times that by, I mean, that's $3,000 passively a month. That's huge.
Yeah.
The other property is rented for $925 a month. It's roughly around $80,000. And that one is on Simpson. If you take a look at both of these on our website right now and take a look at the rehab that we did, it's a beautiful rehab. You'll see that we take, you know, pride in making sure that all the systems and mechanicals are replaced and or serviced, that they can last for 5 years, and that's the minimum. So, and if you also look at the just the overall quality on that, you'll be really impressed. So get on our website, www.columbusturnkeyhouses.com, and set up a strategy call. Let's talk.
Dave, RJ, thank you again, as always. Great information. I mean, this opens up a world of possibilities for a lot, probably many more people. So thank you very much for opening some eyes and again, sharing with us what's available in your area and in your area of expertise.
Hey, no problem, guys. And I know you mentioned about IRAs before. Go ahead and check out howtoinvestira.com. We recently did a webinar all about using your IRA to acquire income properties, and I think there's a lot of value there. That one's howtoinvestira.com.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Great. Thank you. We'll talk to you again next week. Well, stick around. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors. We'll be right back.
AM 1170, theanswer.com. Hear us anywhere in San Diego and the world. AM 1170, The Answer.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
San Diego's home for intelligent, conservative talk. AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Portfolio Doctors. Thank you for joining us once again. We are glad you could be part of our weekend and we could be part of yours. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick. I think we're going to have some fun now, this last segment.
Yes, we're going to try a new segment here. We've had the true or false game. We've had a handful of games we've played over the years. So
that's right. We're gonna dig through the couch this time and see if we can come up with some weird and wonderful ideas that maybe you haven't thought about to invest and improve your portfolio.
So what do we want to call this? Sorting through the lint?
Maybe, or whatever it is.
Under the couch cushions?
That's right.
I do remember when I was a child, I would go over to my grandparents, and I don't know if my grandmother stashed coins or not, but she would always encourage me to dig, take the cushions out and dig underneath, and it never failed. I would never find many coins, but I would always find one or two, and she explained it. And I've done the same thing at my house, and I find coins regularly where someone sits down, the coin falls out of their pocket, ends up between the cushion. So there is treasure buried beneath the cushion. So,
well, we mentioned one just before we went to a break or before we started the last segment, the last time before Dave and RJ showed up, and that was to dig through your jewelry cabinets and try and maybe find some maybe old pieces or something that you're not using too much and come up with a creative idea to maybe redesign it or melt bits down and redo it. I mean, you've got to think outside the box in this world, and that's one way to go. I mean, another one that people often don't even think about is that old Rustmobile out in the back, you know, that you want to just toss away. I mean, I've driven past so many houses where you see an old truck or an old van or an old car, and it's on bricks and it's just sitting there rusting. I mean, there's a massive market for that. Even just selling it as it is, oftentimes you can make a fair amount of money.
You get someone that is their business, just like how Dave and RJ are with getting a property, getting it up looking real nice, making it more desirable to renters, and creating an opportunity for an investment property. It's the same thing with real estate. I have a friend who recently, for $1,000, bought some old Dodge truck, and it was an older guy who was the original owner. Mm-hmm. Who knew it had value but just didn't want to deal with it. So he sold it to my friend for $1,000.
Yeah.
It's worth $5,000 right away. So he could just turn it as is and sell it for $5,000.
So think about that. You can take that as an example. Okay. The alternative, you could take that $1,000 and put it in the stock exchange and hope that your stock goes from $10 to $50.
Right.
I mean, seriously, people have got to put it, you got to almost put it in that type of.
It happens, but.
It does, but I mean. Think about that. People go, it's only $5,000. No, you've turned $1,000 into $5,000. It's the same as putting $1,000 in the stock market and hoping it gets to $5,000. And as you say, Dan, the chances of that happening that quickly to begin with.
Oh, sure.
I mean, what's the return on that?
You could have literally done it
almost
potentially
infinite.
The same day.
Yeah. So there's that. I mean, can you think of any other ideas?
What, along the cars? Well, I mean.
No, anything else. I mean, there's... We've talked about the jewelry thing. We've talked about maybe some cars. You know, there's always the old garage sale where you can clean everything out. I mean, you're not going to make a lot.
Well, in this day and age with the eBays and the Amazons, I mean, my wife, she loves reading books.
Yep.
We have bookshelves and bookshelves of books she's read that are all used. She's never going to read them again. You can go on Amazon. You're not going to get full price. There's still significant value in all those books. And I remember same thing. My grandmother, she had hallways lined with books that she had read. My mom's the same way. She's got stacks and stacks of books. There's opportunity now in this day and age. There's a lot of ways to make excess money.
Talking about books, did you hear about that thing they do in certain parts of the country where they build a little, you can actually get the kit and you can build your own book library? And what you do is you put it outside. It's like a self-contained little house, right? Okay. Just very small. It just sits outside. And you stock a whole bunch of books in there, and it's wide open. And people can come in and peruse the library and check a book out.
Take one.
And sometimes they leave a book behind, and sometimes it never comes back. But they say most often it becomes this own sort of self-fulfilling little library, which you could almost write that off as a donation, right?
Sure.
So there's a tax break right there just in creating, and not to mention all the social aspect of having a little library and seeing people use it. And I mean, that's rewarding in and of itself.
And that's something you just mentioned, a tax break.
Yeah.
That's something that gets underutilized. Everyone has, and I don't like the term stuff, but everyone has stuff in their garage.
A lot.
That they are never going to use again. They probably don't even know it hardly exists any longer in their garage.
I don't know about you, but at one point I had a 4-bedroom house. There was my wife, my son, and I, and we could, so there's 4 bedrooms and there's only 3 of us. So in other words, there's basically a bedroom each plus 1 left over.
Sure.
With a 2-car garage, we couldn't even park the cars in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
How much stuff is that?
Hey, have you been looking in our garage?
But you're right. I mean, we all have tons of stuff.
And depending how you get rid of it, you can donate to like Salvation Army, Goodwill, or one of those causes. Or something I actually did personally, I ended up with a large collection of Beanie Babies, which we can get into collectibles in a minute, but Beanie Babies, which really it was going to be a nightmare of a hassle of trying to sell them all on eBay or one of those type sites. And to get the full value, it would have been hours and hours and hours. So I did some research. I went and donated them all to Rady's Children's Hospital.
Oh, wow.
And I got a slip from them with roughly the full value of what I could get if I was to maximize the value on eBay and able to sell those. So I was able to write that on my taxes, and that's found money.
Correct. Well, think about stamps.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the old stamp collection, right? I don't know if you ever did that, but I've got stamps flying all over the place. And then there's coins.
Baseball cards.
There you go. Exactly.
I still have boxes and boxes of baseball cards in my closet that hopefully one day maybe my son will get interested in baseball cards. And if he does, I'll bring it out and he can have at it. And away they go.
No, I know. And coins and old memorabilia stuff. Now, sometimes becomes very close and personal, right? Like I've got my uncle's old RAF fighting wings from when he was fighting Germany in the World War.
Sure.
You're not going to sell that, right?
No.
But there are certain things that aren't family heirlooms that have value. I mean, if you've put it in a box and you haven't looked in that box for 2 years, I'd safe to say you're never going to look in there again.
But unfortunately, the Murphy's Law is the time you give it away is the time you're going to need it the next day.
That's
for
right.
Sure. But then you get a new one.
Yeah, that's what keeps the economy going.
Right.
You should be head of the Federal Reserve.
Donate everything and then go out and buy new stuff when you find you need it.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Whereas what they're doing is they're not donating anything. They're donating the money to the banks, and then they're not giving it to the people that need it.
Right.
Seriously. So, those are just a few ways of making some extra cash. That's literally everyone can do. And I think a lot of people come to us and they say, how do we even get started? We've got nothing. We don't earn enough money. Da, da, da. Well, I mean, we've just given you 5 ways to find $500 to $1,000, right? I've got to believe just about everyone listening to this show, if they did a good solid spring cleaning, would be able to somehow find $500 to $1,000. And you could, that's your
starting point.
Well, right there.
The best example is that truck example with my friend.
Yeah.
Because you think about that. For $1,000, he got a truck that he could literally immediately turn around and sell for $5,000.
Yep. So now you're at $5,000.
So now all of a sudden he's got 5. If he could find 5 more.
Which would be hard.
Right. When that same thing possibly happens, now all of a sudden you've got $25,000.
Correct.
In a very short period of time. So to go along with you saying, well, gee, it's only $5,000. No, it's potentially an exponentially larger number if you are able to execute that, even if it's not the same. You don't get the 5 times return, maybe only get 2. So your 5 turns into 10. Now that $1,000 is $10,000.
I know.
And I don't know about you, but I have never and will never walk past $10,000 laying on the ground if I'm walking down the street and I see it. I haven't either, but that's what I'm saying. So it is a significant and can be a much more significant amount of money if you take advantage of those opportunities.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, you think about it. If you start at 18 and you start with $1,000 and you do a good job and you slowly work it and work it and work it, eventually it could create itself into, turn itself into $1 million, right?
Right.
But you have to have that initial $500 or $1,000 to start. Right. And while, the first few cycles, it doesn't seem to be gaining much traction, it does eventually.
Right.
And if you've got that $1,000 and you can find a deal like your friend did and you turn it into $5,000, now you can maybe do two or three things with the next piece, right? Sure. So you've got to get started, and we've given you a number of ways to do that today.
And a great example, we talk about your son. His goal is he wants to open a hot dog stand in Hawaii.
Correct.
Carl's Jr. Restaurant was started as a hot dog stand.
There you go.
So,
well, another great.
And I think that's worth a couple dollars.
Another great example is you take that one grand your friend found, he buys the car, he flips it for five, he buys a house in Ohio, and he's earning $400 a month.
Right. Now he's got income, and he's gotten his $1,000 back in.
In 2 months.
2.5 months.
I mean.
So.
Yeah.
Well, once again, just about every show we do is based on questions we receive from you, the listeners. So we appreciate any and all inquiries with questions or concerns, or just maybe if there's a topic you would like us to discuss, you want to see or hear our point of view, feel free, email us, dan@theportfoliodoctors.com or steve@theportfoliodoctors.com. Thank you again for listening. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer. To schedule a financial health check, go to theportfoliodoctors.com. Or to speak with Dan Osgood, Steve Bick, or any guest on this program, call 858-764-7250. That's 858-764-7250. Learn more about the show online at theportfoliodoctors.com. Portfolio Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, investment, or tax advice.
The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego. The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.